VentureCast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You come home to me.
First of all, Timmy, again.
What'd I miss?
Just another man out of Boston.
How dare you?
How dare you freeze us out?
How is that not on there? That is
you
just
suck.
Crazy. I'm giving us a point.
The greatest Boston reference of all time.
I'm giving us a point for you eliminating dancing in the streets of Hyannis.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Fellas, what's happening? Good to see you here in the post-holiday glow. Have the holidays gone well for you, Jeff Simon?
They have. My parents are in the air on their way back home. They are actually one of the four people in America that successfully flew Southwest Airlines today. So they're feeling pretty psyched about that.
Oh, has Southwest had some trouble?
Date this podcast for future listeners, but it was not a good week for the little airline that want to get away. It's a bad slogan for this week for them. Want to sit in the Denver airport and slowly go crazy is their new slogan. So, thank you for asking. Very nice. Nice to have the boy home from college.
Woo!
And lots of good food.
Yeah, Ben, you've been through this before. Jeff and I are going through it for the first time. Like, you send your kid away. How cool is it when they come back?
Oh, it's super lovely. Both of the girls are home, and it's been really, really nice. We had a lovely weekend in Nashville, just the four of us.
Oh, great.
We've had really, really, really nice family visits. We had India's family visit over Christmas, and we've got my family in town now. But as I said before we started recording, this is the sixth night in a row I've cooked dinner for more than 10 people, including dinners of 14 and 16. So
that's just pasta.
At the end of my rope.
A lot of pasta every night. Just go.
No, dude, we had some fancy tacos tonight. I just closed strong.
That's awesome. So what is in the Ben Barton fancy taco? What is the go-to ingredient?
So my sister-in-law does not eat meat. So that the A game is the tacos al pastor, which is like the braised pork with the pineapple in it. Yep. And then you broil it at the end so it's burnt.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah,
and then guac and fancy coleslaw, and then I just went ahead and fried up some fish, so we had fish tacos too.
Nice.
Wow, that's a feast.
Indeed. Well, you got those 10 people aren't going to feed themselves, Timmy.
10 servings of ramen. Let's go.
We are in that situation where all the family has left, and we have the leftovers.
Oh,
and we are a small little family with a fridge full of the same food, so. Suze and I are playing the how do we take these six ingredients and make it into something different game tonight.
That's hilarious.
That'll be fun.
Well, we have a problem because Helen and I on Christmas night invite members of the community over for like dessert and drink. So everyone's had their Christmas morning. They've had their Christmas dinner. And now let's get together for some good cheer. The amount of chocolate that's left over in my house, and I'm just like, throw it away. My son's like, what? It's chocolate. You know what happens? I eat the chocolate.
Yes, you do.
I do. I just got to stop.
I've become, the thing that became part of our Christmas tradition are the little spiced gumballs.
Yeah.
And I am not to be trusted around the bowl of spiced gumballs. Like every time I walk through the room, with the spiced gumballs, I'm like, I should definitely have at least four of these. And like, I'm talking like through the room to the front door. And I'm like, nope, no one there. Back through the room, no more gumballs. Like, I have
no one
at all. Those things have bested me.
All right. Well, it is great to see the two of you. I'm so happy your holidays are going so well. but let's get down to brass tacks. It's the most important podcast we've ever done.
There we go.
The musical road trip has led us to Boston, the climax of our New England trilogy. Raise your hand if you're super excited. All that is a
that's
finger.
Not a Ben hand.
Barton, that's not a that's hand.
That's not a hand, man. That's only one fifth of a hand in Salute to Boston.
So welcome to 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old white guys on the Electricast Podcast Network. Before we get to Boston, some quick housekeeping. I've got a lovely friend here at school who's a young faculty member, and I was touched. He came up and he said, I enjoy your podcast so much. I'm like, oh, thanks. And he goes, and you know, I'm right in the 2000s of season two, and you guys are really hitting your stride. And the podcast is just going great. It's just so fun to listen to. I'm like, oh, Stephen, thank you so much. It's great of you to say. The next day I see him, he's like, well, I spoke too soon. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, it was the one where you were in Utah. That did not go. And it was that Page, Arizona hotel Wi-Fi. He did say, Ben, that you crushed it on your Kesha talk, but
oh, nice.
Apparently the production value of that particular podcast, we might just have to exit out.
You know, no, man, when you do 120 of these things and counting, you have to have a couple of charming face plants.
We should do it like the very first one where we re-record it.
There you go. We'll send you back to Arizona with a better Wi-Fi connection.
That sounds great. And then other housekeeping news. Jeff, you have news.
I have news.
I'm so excited that the three of us haven't talked about this news yet. And so let's share the good news with the listeners.
I, in addition to being a proud member of this Electricast podcast, I just signed a recording artist contract with Electricast Records, which kicks in actually today. Today, the contract officially became official. So
unbelievable.
We're going to release a bunch of Jeff Simon's music through Electricast Records in 2023. We're going to do some covers that celebrate this podcast. We're going to do some original stuff. We're going to try to get the Waffle Barrel Boys back in a room together and make some music. It should be super fun. So I'm thrilled to be joining the Electricast family in a second way. And I went to the Christmas toast, holiday toast that the guys hosted last week.
Mark and Peter hosted,
Met a bunch of our fellow podcasters, and they got a nice little crew of cool people that they've built together. It should be a really fun year next year, I think. So yeah, super thrilled, and it's hilarious, and we'll see what this old fart can put together for the next 12 months. So,
Ben, do you think we ought to be on one of the songs?
No, absolutely hard there. Let me say a couple of things. First, I'm really proud of Jeff. I'm thrilled for him.
So
I just want to note, though, I'm the only non-corporate stooge. I'm it. I'm the last remaining voice of Gen X who's here on this podcast. Everyone knows Timmy's in management.
Yeah.
I think Timmy might even be management. And now Jeff has signed on as well. He went to the Christmas party. So now it's just me. I'm a voice alone in the wilderness.
You totally are. The only one you can trust is Ben. There's no question about it.
Ethan Hawke just walking around grumpy.
Ethan Hawke.
Who else is going to bite the hand that feeds us? If it's only me, I mean, I can only get part of the hand.
Oh, God, hilarious.
That's so funny. So the Brinks truck backing up to the Simons house.
Boop, boop. Yep. I will say this. I have made exactly the same amount of money with my new Electricast recording contract as I have with this podcast.
Okay, the night is
but
young,
that is entirely my fault, not theirs. So I'm gonna work on that. So
all right, well, let's get to Boston. And when you're flying into Boston, you're not flying on Southwest Air, you're flying on Eastern Airlines, the old school. And this is the song you'll hear as you touch down at Logan Airport. Jeff, we don't have the music yet.
Well, that sucks, because when I made you co-host, it shuts off the sharing. Because that timing on that was perfect. I was so proud of myself. All right, say that again. Say Logan Airport again.
Yeah, because when you're flying in on Eastern Airlines, touching down at Logan Airport, this is the song that's going to play.
I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you about my town. I'm going to tell you a big fat story, baby.
Boy, man, that doesn't get you up and out of your seat. Wait, neither of you are up and out of your seat.
I got to say, there's two things I never noticed before. The first is I never really listened to that lyric, muggers, bums, and thieves, but they're good people.
I know, I love that.
That's hilarious. And then that is a horrible drum fill coming out of that. Love that dirty water. I've never heard how clumsy that is. Like, I can't believe they didn't re-record that.
That's a complaint about a drum fill where the keyboard part is just sitting there. keyboard part. It's like they got somebody out of the home, slapped mittens on them, and they just are banging them.
What I love is that a young Smash Mouth heard that and was like, that right there.
That's our sound. That is the Shondells, Jeff Simons?
The Standells.
Standells. I was hoping you were going to find the Bronson Arroyo version. Do you know he has a version? God.
He did not record that.
Oh, yeah. Bronson Arroyo has a version. It's awesome.
Number 61.
Oh, look at you.
I don't know why I remember that. All I remember about Bronson Arroyo is that when he switched from the Red Sox to the Reds and he had to go to the plate, he suddenly stopped hitting every other batter on the knuckles. Like Bronson Arroyo hit every batter that ever got
no,
a hit.
No, the inside plate is his. That's all he's
was
saying.
Such a shithead about led that way. And then they traded him to the Reds, and all of a sudden his control was so much better because he had to go and get in the batter's box.
Well, we are not going to go down. There'll be no favorite Boston sports memory on this podcast. We'll stay away from sports altogether. But honestly, I would like to hear about visits. Have either of you gone to Boston and spent any time there? Any law conventions in Boston, Ben?
I've been to Boston for work and for personal items. I wasn't going to say pleasure because it wasn't a pleasure, but I have been there for personal reasons.
Did you not like it?
One of the times I was there, my mom was in the hospital for a month, so that was a little less pleasant.
That sounds terrible. Okay. Although, good hospitals.
Yeah, no, fantastic. She's alive, so I can't complain about that.
Was she at Mass General?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, let's talk about Mass Boston General. Hospital. Right. You know what you just reminded me of is that Simpsons where Lisa writes the Why is America So Great essay, and she's up against that kid who does the Liberty Bell. Ding, dong, the sound of the Liberty Bell. Ding, excellent schools. Dong, quality hospitals.
All right, Jeff, what about you? Did
you I've been to Boston a ton of times. I've played many a gig in Boston at many different places. And I've been there to visit friends. I think the first time I spent any real time there, my friend Mike went to Boston University and I visited him his freshman and sophomore year, I think. And then my friend Red lived up there. And then, I mean, I've been, you know, and, you know, an ex partner of mine grew up there. So I spent quite a lot of time with her family. So I've been to Boston a ton.
And we drove from Vermont to the Red Sox game that
we
one
did.
Summer.
That's right. Yeah, and we saw, remember that was the game where your starting pitcher like fell on the third pitch. He fell off the mound and they ended up losing like 16-3. That was
a rough drive.
It was Mark Portugal. Yeah. That's who it was.
Look at you. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was fun. But Boston, I've had a lot of fun in Boston. No question about it.
Have you played any gigs? Where Which
the best
bars?
Gig I ever played in Boston was with Rich Price at the Paradise Lounge.
Oh, that was the Paradise. That's a
good,
great place.
That was a really good gig. It was one of our first really good shows on that tour. Like, you know, it's like the fourth of, and actually that's where we met Joe DeVoe. We had we'd been a quartet, and then we really wanted to add a keyboardist, and we had 2 days off in Boston, so we like met Joe and rented a rehearsal space and taught him the whole set in a day.
Wow.
And then I think then we went up and played the State Theater in Portland and then came back down and played the Paradise Lounge. And that was the first night Joe like knew the songs and was like a part of the band. And I remember that night. I remember that night Joe and I invented, we just joked that we should just start a song that descends and never stops descending. Like a da 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 da. And when Rich came on stage that night, Adam, Joe and I broke into it like a little jazzy.
Oh no.
And Rich kept waiting for it to stop, and we just never stopped descending. He finally turned around. He's like, "What are you doing?"
Good for Rich.
I still remember that.
Ah, fun stuff. All right. Well, gosh, there's so much to talk about with Boston, but I think the number one game I want to play tonight is which date was best. I'm going to give you three dates I had. And the Ooh. Artists we went to see, and you tell me which date was the best and why. Okay, here's your first date. When I was working at the Boston Globe, I took a photographer to a James Taylor concert. When I was at Northeastern University, I took a fellow English major to a Van Morrison concert. And when I was working at a restaurant, I took a waitress to a Pogues concert. Which date went the best and why?
I mean, do you want to say it, Ben, or?
No, you get to choose.
I would
you want
say,
me to have first pick? I mean, the Pogues went the best.
No question.
Band super drunk. You got super drunk. You don't remember what happened. You woke up the next day, hungover, but you were together. It must have worked out.
What about the James Taylor?
James Taylor, you got super drunk. You puked yourself sick. Concert was awful. She never spoke to you again.
And the Van Morrison, he showed up an hour and a half late, played for 20 minutes, got mad.
Cursed you personally out.
Right. Got mad like when a firefly got in the lights and walked off stage. And then, you know, yeah, that would be my guess.
Well, the Pogues concert was the best. That was the best question. Experience. Went with someone who would be my girlfriend, and we had a great time, and the Saw Doctors were there. And if you don't know the Saw Doctors and you really want to hear fun Irish music, go ahead. Yeah, James Taylor's just boring, man. Oh, that was a tough date. That was a tough date. And when that internship ended, I let that go sailing away. And then Van Morrison, great concert, great date. But it was that awkward thing where she was the one standing up and dancing and no one else was dancing.
Oh, and blocking the views of the elderly.
Yeah,
and
the older people. Yeah, it was that awkward thing. And so am I going to get up and dance with her when I don't know the songs very well? I was put on the spot. I wasn't comfortable at all.
Whereas at the Pogues, you do not have to worry about. There is no such thing as personal space.
No, it's like an Irish music festival at a racetrack. So, yeah, it was fine.
Timmy, did she like it when you were like, sit the fuck down? No one else is standing. Sit the fuck down. Did she like that or did she not like that?
I did not say that, Ben Barton. I'm a gentleman on a first date, for Pete's sake.
I think I know who the Pogues date was. I think. There, she was still.
I don't think we should mention any names, okay. Except Bobby in Santa Fe when he was unwrapping those individually wrapped cookies.
Yes,
Bobby was very excited. All right,
okay, I do know who that is. That's great.
Let's go, Jeff Simons. Do you have the Boston compilation ready for us?
Oh God, yes.
Oh, this
I just downloaded. I downloaded it like 4 seconds before we started the podcast. So
there are
I hope it'll work.
15 songs for us tonight. You got your pens and pencils ready, your paper ready. I need you all to name 11 artists in the Boston compilation.
Are you ready, buddy?
No, not at all. This is going to be a disaster.
Here we go.
She comes from Boston.
These are the times that try men's souls.
Oh, I've got this one.
In the course of our nation's history, the people of Boston have rallied bravely whenever the rights of men have been threatened.
Sweet things from Boston, so young and weird.
Nancy came from Boston.
Oh, we're three for four.
She got in trouble very often.
She said, I think I'll go to Boston.
On the blue blood streets of Boston, up in Brooklyn, I'm Queens.
They're really rocking in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA.
I've had dreams of Boston all of my life.
Boston, you can find it on the corner of the common side by downtown Boston.
Spoke to my girl on the phone to the day. She said she wished I'd
She said no.
You come home to me.
First of all, Timmy, again.
What did I miss?
Again.
What did I miss?
Again. Just another man out of Boston. How dare you? How dare you freeze us out?
How is that not on there? That is just crazy. I'm giving I'm giving us a point.
Single greatest Boston reference of all time.
I'm giving us a point for you eliminating dancing in the streets of Hyannis from this. I'm very disappointed.
All right. Sorry.
All right. One more run through. Ben, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Ooh. 10. I think I got 10 on the first pass. So we'll see.
All right. We'll see.
We need but 11.
Top, I don't have the top one.
Whatever I don't have that at all. I have Indigo Girls with a smirk, but I know it's not.
All right. One more try. America, help us get the 11th.
I got this one.
Come to Boston for the springtime.
All right. I don't think we're going to get 11.
Rambling boy, won't you settle down?
All right. From the top, who is the dork at the top, Tim? I have no idea.
You got to give me a guess.
Gordon Lightfoot.
It is Kenny Chesney with his hit, Boston.
Okay. I have no shame about that. The second song, I believe, is the Kingston Trio doing MTA.
That is correct. Ben, what's number three?
Oh, thank you, Jeff, for giving me number three. Steely Dan.
Steely Dan, Hey 19. All right, Ben, Jeff, back to you for number four.
That's Jenny Lewis, Late Bloomer.
That is correct, Jenny Lewis. Number five, Ben Barton.
Is that the Counting Crows?
It is not. Guess.
I don't know. It's some Counting Crows. I think I've heard this band, but I can't for the life remember who it is.
I just saw them about a month and a half ago.
Oh, it's the Augustana.
Augustana is correct. Yes, Augustana. Yeah,
well, you shouldn't give us that.
All right. Number six.
Huey Lewis.
No, it's Bob Seger.
Bob Seger is correct.
Bob Seger. Very
Got
nice.
The fire down below. I also left Huey Lewis off of this list.
You did.
Number seven.
You did help us with Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Good Chuck Berry. We had it for Pittsburgh as well. I love that song, though. All right. Eight is really hard.
Yeah, I got no idea.
Nothing?
Nothing.
That is Vampire Weekend.
Ben. Whoa. Where are you?
That didn't sound like them at all.
Ladies of Cambridge.
Ladies of Cambridge. How? That is so fucking perfect for that band. The ladies of Cambridge.
Jeff Simon's number nine. All right.
Or Craig Finn, one or two. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Hold Steady. All right, 10's hard.
I mean, I
gave you a lot too to work with.
I know. No, it sounds like either Paul Revere or the Raiders or like a Birds ripoff. Like but I'm assuming it's some like Nuggetsy.
Or the Kinks. I had the Kinks.
It's got to be an American thing though, right? It's some Nuggetsy like garage rocky thing.
It's the Birds.
No way.
I'm gonna give you a half a credit there. You said a Birds like thing. No, it's the Birds.
It's the Birds.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive, Jeff. Well done.
I can't believe I got that.
Number 11.
I think that's Buffalo Tom.
It is Buffalo Tom. Excellent.
Nice. That's a great get.
That's a really good get. Number 12.
That's a Dropkick Murphys.
All right.
That's a Will Simons favorite. That's it. That one. Yeah, he loves those guys. And whatever this synth thing you gave us, I have no
idea. Who does One Night at Bangkok?
That's
Paul Hardcastle.
No, he was 19.
Oh, you're right.
One Night in Bangkok was I can't remember.
One night in Bangkok above the waistline. That is not who it is. It's Gorillaz.
Wow.
No way.
Yeah. Okay. 14
is the Stones.
Excellent.
Stones.
And 15 is
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
But it's not Kenny Loggins. It's the other Loggins, right?
It is. It is Dave Loggins.
Okay. All right.
Wow, that's a great get.
Nice.
I've heard
job.
That song makes me laugh a lot. I've heard that. Please come to Boston song.
So great. She said no.
I know.
All right. Well, you got 10.5, but I'll go ahead. It is the holiday season. I'll give you the Birds for the win. Woo! So,
Bill Janovitz from Buffalo Tom has become a hell of a writer about music. He wrote a great book about Exile on Main Street. And his Twitter feed is highly recommended if you're a music guy.
Awesome.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, we should get him on.
We should get Bill on. He's really good friends with my friend Billy Glasner.
Oh, make that happen.
I'll see what I can do.
Because remember, I told you the story of talking to him backstage at the Toad.
Right. That's right. That's right.
So yeah, we should get him on. And by the way, we should get Billy on too, actually. We have a great artist in residence this week for Boston with Tanya Donnelly from the Breeders, not the Pixies. Gosh, I can't believe I blew that.
I can't believe you did that too.
I can't believe I did that. Throwing Muses and Belly. Tanya Donnelly was great.
We had a nice chat
last night and talked about the music scene in Boston. So please check that podcast out when you get a chance. All right. We said that the favorite sons of New England were Phish, the most successful New England band, excluding Boston, because in my head, I was thinking Aerosmith was a Boston band. But then Ben Barton pulled the Sunapee, New Hampshire gambit and qualified Aerosmith as a New England band. But of course, like the greatest selling band of New England, the greatest selling band of Boston, no matter where it is Aerosmith. And so we have to call them the favorite sons of Boston and play their most popular song on Spotify. And people, Ben Barton's going to have to eat this song. Because last week he said that new Aerosmith was superior to old Aerosmith. And if you're going to claim new Aerosmith as your own, you're going to have to listen to this song.
I could stay awake just to hear you breathing. Watch you smile while you are sleeping, while you're far away. I could spend my life in this sweet surrender. I could stay lost in this moment forever. Every moment spent with you is a moment I treasure.
Let's go.
First of all, that is the theme from Armageddon. Do I have
that is
right?
Correct.
Their we have that absolutely song. Correct.
That is correct. Man.
That makes me super happy. I'm thrilled. I didn't even mind that. That was fun. That was fun.
Anytime you have Aerosmith with a full orchestra and those soaring
the
strings.
String part when they came in.
Yeah.
Listen, I just don't want to miss a thing.
That song sucks so bad. That movie is as good as that song, by the way.
Disagree. Movie also excellent.
That movie sucked.
I mean,
isn't that the movie where Ben Affleck
get?
Eats the animal cracker off Liv Tyler's stomach? Am I remembering that movie correctly?
First of all, we call that love. Maybe that's called something different in your household.
Yeah, it is called something different in my household.
Oh, wait. I just put two and two attention. Together. That was Steven Tyler singing about his daughter's romance.
That's
yes.
right.
Yes.
Whoa.
Which, as we know, in rock and roll history, is always an incredibly comfortable event and everything's fine.
Okay. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by TripAdvisor. It's actually not, but we pretend it is until they back up the Brinks truck. Top five places to visit in Boston. Are you in or are you out on a tour of Fenway Park?
Totally. You should definitely see a game at Fenway Park. I've been three or four
tour.
Times.
You don't have to take a tour. That's the Thank number you. One thing is a tour of Fenway
Thank
Park.
You,
That's
Ben
whack.
Barton. That's right. You go and you get a seat in the bleachers.
Yeah. And oh, you're talking about like
Bud
walking
lights.
Around it?
Yes,
yeah, they
it's
have
a
these
tour.
Tours.
You have to pay for a tour
yeah.
when it's not even a game.
Oh, that's awful. I do think terrible. The seats in Fenway are hilariously uncomfortable. They are built for 1895 asses. And I mean, none of us is a particularly wide berth, but I can't imagine what it's like for the average 21st century American to
yeah.
try to sit.
You get a person yeah. sitting next to you. Oof, it's rough.
Oh, yeah. It's, say, like, a, so it's like a whole muffin top thing. I mean, it's bad.
I've been at 25 different American baseball parks.
Yeah.
Closing in on it. And Fenway was really fantastic. It's
yeah.
like Woo! One of the five best ones you can see. It really stands out. It's awesome.
It's such a great park. I used to work for the cable company. My brother still works for the cable company that broadcasts Red Sox games. And I remember that summer I'd go down to Lansdowne Street and I'd get a sandwich and I'd come back and I'd eat my sandwich in the stands just by myself, just in an empty ballpark. It was a gorgeous setting for a tuna on rye. All right. Second thing, top five places to visit or things to do in Boston. The Boston Ghosts Trolley Tour.
No, hard pass.
Help us out.
I know. Golly. All right. Ooh. How about number three? A Harvard University walking tour. For those that didn't get in? Come on. What is happening here? All right. What about a harbor cruise around the harbor islands there?
No.
When do we get to the Freedom Walk and the Faneuil
When
Hall
do we get to like
crap?
A 3 a.m. cheeseburger and Fribble at Friendly's when you're a little bit you're a little loose?
And that must be in the top 20. Number five is the Freedom Trail walking tour with a costumed guide. I think was writing the TripAdvisor for Boston is a little punchy. I'm not sure what happened.
I love the
you
requirement.
You get to kick the guy's ass at the end.
Yeah, exactly. I would imagine tour of Sully's Beach House is missing. Like, I would assume that's like two or three.
I mean, the greatest place I would bring people to is the littlest bar in Boston, which was just the tiniest bar you've ever been to. Could probably only fit, I don't know, 15 people at a time. Just swallowed up by giant buildings. Eventually, the littlest bar in Boston closed. Sad.
Is it Cheers in Boston, too? You should go to Cheers.
No, don't go to Cheers.
In the Minneapolis airport you're thinking of.
It is also in the Detroit airport with they used to have an animatronic Norm.
Yeah, totally.
You remember that? Had like the fake Norman Cliff.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
America is just an amazing
so
place.
So sad. All right, let's get to our three songs or albums or events, people, places. Who wants to go first tonight?
Jeff, do it.
All right, I'm going to cheat. I have two because one of the things that keeps us going as music fanatics, speaking for my partner Ben here, is the always trying to hear a thing that you may have missed, right? Like one of the things Ben does at the end of every year is he gets out that Metacritic list and he grinds his way through all really of the cool. weird records that yeah, people have told him.
Yay, yeah. All right.
And now, and the thing is, most of the time, like, if you get to the point where you're like Ben and myself, you've listened up to tens of thousands of bands and hundreds of thousands of songs, like, you could tell pretty quickly whether something's good or up your alley or, you know, and like every once in a while a record will surprise you on the third or fourth listen. But the hunt is the best part. Like, there's nothing more exciting than reading about a record and it sounds like one you might love and you put it on in the first 30 seconds. You're like, oh my God, this is so good. And for whatever reason, a lot of little bands that made one good record or five good songs are Boston bands for me. Like when I was going through the list of bands from Boston, I was really surprised that there wasn't a band where I was like, oh, this is my band. Like I like four albums by this band. There are a couple that are close, but what I wanted to do was just play 30 seconds of two one-off bands that showed up, made a great record, and disappeared that I still love to listen to. The first one is from 1990. It's a band called The Cave Dogs. Okay. They made two records and disappeared. But the first track of the first Cave Dogs record, which is called Joyrides for Shut-Ins, this record kicked ass, like, from the jump. And it's just a great example of, like, almost every band that hangs in there, spends a year together learning how to play, and has a good musician in it, can write one just absolute kick-ass number. So I'm going to start by playing a little bit of a song called Tater Country by the Cave Dogs.
Can we talk about their album title?
Isn't that a great name?
That's Joy a Rides great for title.
Yeah, it's a great title. And then one of the things I like about this band is that they actually remind me of Boston itself. It's a it's a pretty irreverent record that takes itself not too seriously and then takes itself way too seriously, and it's like on those two sides of the coin. Anyway, here's a little bit of Tater Country.
Great stuff.
Yeah, the other band I want to talk about is Just Like This. It's a band from the mid-80s. They were called Moving Targets, and they're kind of like they're the Great Lost Husker Du band. Again, two records, three guys, three chords in a cloud of dust, like super high energy. There's something about the Boston scene. There were a bunch of these like trios making like 150-second songs where a million things are happening, which, if you've paid any attention to this podcast, is so up my alley. So this is from a record called Landing on Water Burning in Water. Very different, from 1986. And this is a song called Faith from Moving Targets. Either of these bands, like, you know, I would say check them out, except that I'm playing you the two best songs. So if you like these two songs, you should listen to these two songs. And I will not vouch for the rest of their longer catalogs. But I just thought Boston would be the podcast where I celebrate the search for new music, the perpetual never-ending search for a song you haven't heard that is just great. So here's Faith by Moving Targets.
so cool. I mean, there's so many bands we could put in there, right? Like Buffalo Tom, Del Fuego's, Letters to Cleo. I mean,
yep.
Yeah. And it was such a fun time to be into music. And actually, I think my kids are my oldest two. Like, they're at that age of kind of discovering bands on their own and, you know, new songs and like, Dad, hear this. It's like, oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny with Spotify, like, they're finding music the way they're finding it one song at a time.
Yeah.
At least my kid is. My kid will be like, you ever heard this song? And I'm like, yeah, you should listen to these other 25. And he's like, hey, yeah, slow down, egghead.
Slow down.
You know, it's like one song at a time. But both of those songs came out, 35, 40 years ago now. And they are under 20,000 listens on Spotify.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not bands anybody's ever heard of. And I love that. I love that there's always, if you just hang in there and keep your ears open, you will hear cool stuff you missed. And so that's my celebration for the Cave Dogs and Moving Targets are examples of like bands that nerds like us have listened to and nobody else has until now.
Woo!
And you're welcome.
It's like this podcast is the mixtape you would give a friend.
Well, maybe not a good
friend. I mean, yeah, not that. All right, Ben Barton, that's your segue.
So I've already discussed Aerosmith, and of course I did a lengthy dissertation of the band
Yes,
Boston.
You did.
So I'm sad to report the low-hanging fruit has already been harvested. So, Timmy, I was going to choose a great Boston hip-hop act. Perhaps you can enlighten us. What's a great Boston hip-hop act?
Are you talking Belle Biv DeVoe?
Oh, Belle Biv DeVoe is on my list, my friend. But I did not. I thought they were insufficiently representative.
Okay, what do you hip-hop. What do you got?
So my first go-to is House of Pain.
Ah,
I had a surly white kid and a Celtics jersey. With a like,
oh my god, I know where you are going, and I just got so
like,
happy.
Sounded like Scottish music behind him.
It's Irish music.
Oh, look
how
at
dare
these
you?
Angry white assholes. They must be from Boston, but nope, they're
from
New York. LA.
Oh, like, are they really?
Racist Celtics fans. They are not from Boston. I'm just going to give you the heads up. If you see a white person in a Celtics jersey and they're not from Boston, just you can fill in the blanks.
Take
from
a
there.
Break.
No, my friends. I take you back. Larry Curtis Johnson. Anyone know who Larry Curtis Johnson is? He's better known as Maurice Starr.
Okay.
American musician, songwriter, and record producer. Listen to his career before he becomes a promoter.
Okay.
Johnson was a member of the Johnson Brothers, parentheses, not to be confused with the Brothers Johnson from Los Angeles. And the, quote, seminal electro group known as the Johnson Crew with brothers Michael Johnson and Sonny Johnson. Awesome so far. Like, Wikipedia is just a rich load of this kind of stuff. In 1980, changes into Maurice Starr, records his two solo R&B albums, Flaming Star and Spacey Lady. Sad to report, those were not very popular. In 1982, Starr discovered what band in a talent show?
New Edition.
Oh, this is so good.
Candy Girl, Is This the End, and Popcorn Love.
Oh, is this
the
end?
Despite the album's success and a lengthy tour, New Edition members were paid less than $2 each. And they fired Starr in 1983, accusing him of embezzlement. I don't know why they complained. Can you imagine if you had a number one album and you got paid $2 by your manager? What was there to be mad about?
That is unbelievable.
He followed it up with another boy band.
Is that NSYNC? NSYNC?
No, the New Kids.
On the Block.
Oh, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. Yeah, the NKOTB.
But that's not my selection, Timmy.
Okay.
You're just trolling. I love that you're just trolling. Trolling
of NKOTB, also a Maurice Starr production. Can you name it?
Marky Mark and the Funky
Marky
Bunch.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Oh, yeah. Because nothing says Boston hip hop like Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
This is terrible.
Stardust at 2:20 in the breakdown section of Good Vibrations. And yes, hold on. I just want to clarify that I am also drug-free, so put the crack up.
Here we go.
Good Vibrations. D's on the back up. Truck free, so put the crack up. No need for speed, I'm anti D-R-U-G-G-I-E. My body is healthy, my rhymes make me wealthy. And the funky bunch helps me to bring you a show with no intoxication. Come on, feel the vibration. Yeah. Can you feel it, baby?
Solo. I forgot about that piano solo.
Oh, wow. There's a piano solo because it's pure hip hop, no sellout.
Oh my god. And that song in my song's had 17,000 listens. That song's at 60 million and climbing.
It's
and by
incredible.
The way, as much as I love to make fun of it, it's a banger. That's
yeah,
I love really that song.
Is that did Maurice Starr write that?
No. It's a Donnie and Mark co-production, but Maurice Starr is still pulling the strings. Apparently, he hadn't stolen enough from NKOTB yeah. by then to get
He's
fired.
Still giving $2.
My favorite part of that is that it's not enough to have that stupid bass line, but you have to have a voice going bo bo bo.
Oh, it fucking kills me. The production of it is actually great. It sounds great.
Yeah. It really does.
All I can
and it's
think
one of
those
classic ones. That's a massive number one hit, worldwide hit. Second yep. single, top 10 hit. Third single, number 60 in the Billboard chart. Fourth single, shoot me in the head. Like, this is like, yep. didn't even limp out of the barn, the fourth yes. single.
When he starts rapping, all I can think about is Andy Samberg on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, exactly.
Marky Mark talking to farm animals. Where's your mother? That is so great.
It's a great choice. It's a great. I thought you were going to go with third base is the gas face.
Oh, aren't they from Boston?
No,
or maybe they're from Brooklyn.
Boston. Yeah,
they're from Brooklyn. Because I mean, remember when they came to Haverford and then they got real inappropriate at that party? Yeah. That was classic.
Wait, they performed at the party or they performed?
No, they performed and then they went to a party afterwards and they thought they were in Brooklyn and they were at a very tight assed little liberal arts college and. They rolled in and just upset the apple cart very, very quickly.
Uh-oh. That's not good. All right. Well, I'm gonna bring us home by talking actually about New Edition because when, my family moved and I got sent into the city to go to school, to Catholic Memorial High School, and I was this little suburban kid going into West Roxbury, and that's when I really got into New Edition. And really kind of started singing New Edition songs wherever I went. I wasn't on that first album, Ben. I was on the second album with Mr. Telephone Man and Cool It Now. Some great, great songs. And it's like, do I pick a New Edition song or do I pick a Bobby Brown song, like My Prerogative, because I loved Bobby Brown. And then I started looking on the Wikipedia page and realized the number of times Bobby Brown has been arrested for drunk driving. And I figured I cannot support that.
Fool me once, like, Bobby Brown.
It's like 17 DUIs. I'm like, dear Lord, hire someone to drive you.
It's his prerogative.
And by the way, the DUIs are not, like he's got a lot worse things going on than the DUIs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I read those pages, too. Jeepers.
You know, he's one of the witnesses. Am I right about this? He's the guy who spent the night with Tyson before the Brown fight. He's the guy who reports on the amount of cocaine and Japanese hookers that came in and out of the room all night.
Oh my god. Wait, where is this? Where'd you read this?
I'm really into that weird story where Mike Tyson loses to Buster Douglas.
Yeah.
And apparently he loses because he's just has a
mess.
Running spigot of cocaine and Japanese hookers in the room the entire night before the fight.
Oh my god.
And still almost
so
wins.
Much. And Buster gets him in the ninth. All right. So anyways, I didn't want to pick Bobby Brown. I do like Ralph Tresvant and A Stone Cold Gentleman. Great song. Johnny Gill joins the band. But it's the three guys who are forgotten, the three guys who weren't lead singers, who go off and form Belle Biv DeVoe.
They're going to do it.
I am. And they
I insisted, Ben.
They get together, I think, with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and essentially kick off New Jack hip hop. And this is their big hit, Poison.
And by the way, this song's been listened to 198 million times on Spotify, Woo! Which is not nearly enough. Like, people, get your act together and listen to this song sufficiently. This should have a billion listens for sure.
Yeah, Spider-Man and freezing, full effect.
You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick, are you?
Oh, yeah. Take it down.
Girl, I must warn you. I sense something strange in my mind.
Yeah. Yo,
situation is
serious.
Let's cure it, cause we're running out of time. They seem from the start. It's all so
deadly
when love is not together from the heart. Check it out.
It's driving me out of my mind. That's why it's hard for me to find. Can't get it out of my head. Miss her, kiss her, love
wrong
her.
Move, you're dead.
That girl is
so great. Oh, what a song.
I'm actually going to insist before this podcast ends that Ben do a seated dramatic reading of the greatest hits liner notes from Belle Biv DeVoe's CD in like a leather chair. It is one of my favorite memories of mine of the 90s of having Ben walk me through
so happy with the
liner notes of the Belle Biv DeVoe greatest hits CD, which somehow has 17 tracks on it.
So, Timmy, what's your second favorite song from this record?
Isn't it Something Incredibly Dirty? What's the name of it?
The name of the record, Poison, is their first record,
right? No, but what's
and
the
it's
what's
got
their second
10
hit?
Tracks.
It's something like Doomy, isn't it? Doomy or something?
No, it's
it's Doomy! Exclamation point is yes. The second one. Yes, that's sorry. Not my favorite though.
Okay, what's your favorite?
My favorite is Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, Mike, Ralph, and Johnny. Parentheses. Word to the mother. That's yeah. My favorite. That's the fifth song on the record. I love that one.
Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike.
Ralph and Johnny.
These poor guys, they put up this record. It's a fantastic record. And you like, did you hear how good that sounds?
Yeah.
Like, that just sounds like a rocket to Russia. Just a lightning bolt. How amazing that was. And I think all three of us were like, first time I heard that, I was like, what was that? Damn. I want to hear that again.
Yep.
So good. This record comes out 1990, and then you get a full 3 years before Hootie Mack, their second record, comes out.
Okay, okay.
And they've barely written any of the material on this record, and it's like half of it's the Shockley brothers from Public Enemy, and half of it's Dr. Freeze, and it's just like they managed to bring all of this talent together who are not them to create this record. Anyhow, so the liner notes are hilarious because it documents all of the arguments amongst the band. And basically the band wanted to be a harder act, a real rap act.
Oh, nice.
Soul act. And they didn't want any singing. They just want a lot of hardcore rapping. They were like, we're tired of being Belle Biv DeVoe. We would much, much, much prefer to be Public Enemy or a real rap act, which I'm sad to report is not their lane at all.
Not their jam. No.
Veered off the road. And so their greatest hits record is just the songs from Poison and Hootie Mack. They don't put on another record until 2001's BBD, which I'm sad to report did not chart.
And then 2017, they come back with Three Stripes.
What? Yes. 2017?
2017's Three Stripes. So, and then they've got, of course, WBBD Booty City, the remix album in 1991. But that's it.
Booty I would have City.
We should actually get somebody to do Poison as a hardcore rap song. Girl, I must warn you! I mean, that would be... I would enjoy that if they tried to turn it into the act they wish they had been.
Or a Kenny Chesney country song.
I can't believe you led with Kenny Chesney. How much do you hate us? But I can't believe we get so close to 11 every week with the... Like, it's the hardest thing I do every week is try to guess the songs on that compilation, man.
I keep thinking Ben's time in Tennessee that one of these country acts will just kind of like fall into his lap. And I'll be like, oh, I know this. I got dragged to this show 1 year. But nope. No Kenny Chesney.
No, my friend.
Amazing.
All right. Well, great look at Boston.
And New England, Ben. We spent a month. In your backyard.
Dude, I was thinking about this, Jeff. Timmy, have you driven across the country and back?
I have, yes.
Okay. Did you do the Texas route?
I did, yes.
So you'll I've recall this very well.
Yeah.
You're pulling out of Shreveport, Louisiana.
Right.
You cross the border. You're like, Beaumont, Texas. God damn, I'm in Texas. Woohoo! By the time you get to El Paso, you're like, I can't live anymore.
Yeah,
like, you limp into El Paso.
Yeah, by the time you get to El Paso,
all I want to do is leave this fucking state. And that's how I feel about New England. Like, we've been trapped. We're on the road trip where, like, you just get lost in the maze and we're just in a circle here. It's brutal.
No, by the time you get to El Paso, you've gotten married. You have a new car.
Good stuff. But, yeah, we had to see the leaves and the syrup and the lobster. We got a lot to do here.
We did. We have it fully covered. You can never accuse us of giving your stomping grounds.
2 weeks from now, we meet in Connecticut. That's obvious move.
Yes, obviously next.
Yeah, do you know where we're going next?
Nope.
Me neither. But stay tuned. We'll figure it out. All right, guys. Great to see you.
Awesome. Happy.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, we might not see each other before the turn. I hope 2023 gets off to a good start for y'all.
It's going to be our jam.
Indeed.
All right. See you later.
All right,
love you, fellas.
You too.
Mile, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the Wanna Bet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but Wanna Bet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. So no more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electric acid. Electric acid.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together we explore vibrations, frequencies and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Electric acid.